Ephesians chapter 6 is where we want to look today, looking at God's power. The picture on the PowerPoint of the lightning bolt, I find the lightning bolt interesting. If you want to try and arc something from one spot to another, you know how much power it takes to arc, like just 1 foot or 2 feet or 3 feet? It is absolutely mind-bogglingly phenomenal, the amount of power that it takes. And when you see a cloud overhead and that lightning bolt that comes down, if they could harness just one lightning bolt, we wouldn't need any power dams anywhere. If they could harness those on a regular basis, we have enough power to power everything. It's just an incredible power that God displays and demonstrates. And every time I see the lightning and I hear the thunder that follows through, I'm reminded that it's God saying, I am all powerful. Amen. And it's just that reminder. But Ephesians 6 verse 10, I'm just going to read a bit of Ephesians 6. It starts off by saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may live a long life. Some people say it's so hard to honor your parents, it doesn't work, etc. Well, okay. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. How does a good dad do that? Slaves, be obedient to those who are under your masters according to the flesh. Slaves in the Bible, you need to understand, is not mean the same thing as it does with an African-American slave that's taken out of possession and his ownership rescinded. It means something quite different biblically. And so when the Bible talks about slaves and instructions to slave, at no place does it encourage or endorse the stealing of a person from a family and taking them into a different culture. That's another story. So, slaves or people who are working, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. So we're supposed to be in submission to those that are in authority over us on this earth, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things for them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven. There is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. That's how family relations and relationships on this earth can be healthy. It's when we're strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Then he goes on to say, put on the full armor of God, and it's instruction on putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth. This is my prayer today. Lord, I pray that on my own behalf, you would give utterance to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Jesus, will you make known today with boldness the mystery of the gospel, of the power of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The subtitle for God's power is an encouragement to trust in the Lord and in the power of his might. Next screen for a second. This is an overview. These are the points we're going to look at and we're going to expound on. Appropriating God's power. Then we'll have three reasons for trusting God's power. Then we'll have a fivefold bond of securing God's power. Then we'll have three occasions for using God's power. We'll have four reasons why God's power sometimes is hidden. Those are going to be main points, and each of them will have subpoints. Okay? Next screen. So, appropriating God's power. First of all, before we appropriate God's power, we have to settle that the Lord is almighty power. Something is interesting. When you go to the ATM machine with your ATM card and you put it in, you expect something, right? You expect something to come out. You punch in a number and you expect something to appear at the machine. There's an assumption that there's something there to get. And you wouldn't go to the machine if you didn't think there was something there to get. Although sometimes watching people, you find it interesting. And I think there's a picture there sometimes of how we go to the Lord in prayer. So to appropriate God's power, first of all, settle that the Lord is almighty power. That's first and foremost. Second, settle that this almighty power of God is engaged in our defense, and that he expects us to meet every trial, every temptation, leaning on his arm. Whatever our situation is, no matter what it is, he expects us to be leaning on his arm. He is all-powerful, almighty, and he expects us to lean on his arm for our defense. Third, we have to decide to continually humble ourselves. Philippians 3:21. Who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself? God has the power to subject all things to himself, and he can exert that power and will use that power to bring his glory in and through our lives. We must humble ourselves. Anytime somebody gets up and says, boy, or we think this person is great or that person is great, we're on thin ice and it's scarily dangerous where we go. The only good that comes in and through anybody is God working by his grace in and through people. And as soon as we say, I will do this, or I have done this, no. I can tell you what I can do. My wife and my kids can tell you what I can do. Andrew, the other people, many of you here can tell you what I can do. And it's just not worth anything. Not only not worth a lot, it's not worth anything. But many of you have experienced good coming from me and through me. But it hasn't come from me, it's come through me. And any good that you hear or see is to the glory of the Lord. Okay, three reasons for trusting God's power. Three reasons for trusting God's power. First of all, it's his past record, his history. When Moses doubted God's provision, in Numbers 11:23, the Lord said to Moses, now remember, Moses was doubting, the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's power limited? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. Moses' only hope was for the Lord to come through. Sometimes when people share that they are at the end of their rope, got no place left to go, don't know how to proceed, then I go, hallelujah. See, God set up the situation to bring himself glory. Whatever good comes, nobody will take credit for it. I love that. His past record. Keep a record of the Lord's provision. Keep a record. There are two favorite books that I have in my library. My two favorite books. And I'm blessed to have a few books. Not enough, of course. This is my number one favorite book. This is my number two favorite book. These two go with me most places I go. This is my Bible, which by God's grace I read most days. And this is my journal, where I converse with the Lord. And I write down things that I believe he's saying to me, or for other people, or things of the Word. And when this is full, all 180 pages of it, I put it up on the shelf, and I start another one. And I start another one. The point of this is not for anybody to read, not for any book that's being written, but there's sometimes the Lord brings it, says to me, look back, I want to show you the prayers you prayed 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And I want to show you the answers to prayer that you recorded right here. So that when you're struggling today and wondering what's going to happen, just remember, have I not been there for you? Have I ever let you down? No. His past record bears it out. The second reason for trusting in God's power is our present situation. Without God's strength, we cannot stand in the hour of testing in our circumstance. Andrew's going to go be principal of the King's School. Are they nuts or what? I mean, they've got 350 students. Andrew's never even taught in a school. Yes, he has an education degree, but are they crazy? They got like 55 staff members there. He's never taught in a school, never been a principal. Ron McLean asked me, what do you think of this? This whole idea. I said, it seems to me like God is setting up the situation to bring himself glory. Lots of glory. God is going to come. We're going to pray for Andrew. God's going to come in that school. He's going to move in power. He's going to clean up the administration, whatever, if anything needs cleaning up. I just always assume something needs to be done. He's going to work in the teachers' lives and in the students' lives. And he's going to bring the presence of God to bear in that school like he never has before. The power will come. The Spirit will move. And nobody will give Andrew credit, because who would? He's never been a principal, never taught in a school. Are they nuts? But God said. Then here at Calvary Chapel, we got Rob Belfour as our team leading pastor. I mean, how old are you, Rob?
30.
What are we, nuts? God is setting us up for something. Each of us, as we submit to the Lord and are obedient to Him, God is setting up. So our present dilemma. I read in the Globe and Mail an interesting story. You see, when we want to be glorious or fantastic for the Lord, we need to live our daily lives, and God will use situations to bring glory to Him. It was from the Globe and Mail, and it was called Faith and Melted Snow Keep BC Woman Alive in the Wilderness. This was on the national news. This was in the Globe and Mail. And I take one exception to it, faith, but my question is, what do you have faith in? All kinds of people have faith, but where is your faith placed? It's where your faith is placed. I love this story, so I'm just going to read a bit of it from Globe and Mail. For 7 weeks, 49 days, Rita Kretchen waited on a snowy logging road in the wilderness of northeastern Nevada to be rescued. She had been with her husband, Albert, heading to Las Vegas from Penticton, B.C. in mid-March when they took a wrong turn in their Chevy Astro and got stuck. They had been there for 2 days when Mr. Kretchen, who was 59 years old, headed out with GPS in search for help. The weather was calm when he left, but a storm blew in shortly afterward. He has not been seen since. Mrs. Kretchen, 56, was left behind alone in an alpine mountain forest with not much more than luggage, some books, and a few snacks she had packaged for traveling. The days turned into weeks. Snow fell, temperatures dropped below freezing at night, heavy rains followed as March turned into April and then May. When she was cold, Mrs. Kretchen dug into her suitcase, pulled out the clothes she had packed for Vegas. She ate her snacks, trail mix, and candy, but it did not last long. She slept a lot, wrote in her journal, and read. She wrote in her journal and read. You got those two with you. It's your survival gear. When she was discovered by two hunters on an all-terrain vehicle on Friday, she was conscious and surviving on melted snow and drinking freezing water from a nearby gushing stream. They gave her some food, but she could not keep it down. She was airlifted by helicopter to the hospital in Twin Falls, Idaho. What really kept her alive was her faith and a refusal to give up, her son Raymond said Sunday at a press conference. She's a Christian, and she reads her Bible every day. Survival gear, folks. She was in the practice and the habit of reading her Bible every day and journaling in it. So when she stuck on the side of a mountain for 49 days in the dead of winter, she's got her Bible and her journal and her Jesus with her. Every day, and she had books she was reading, and she had time to think and pray, yes. And just prepare for whichever outcome was going to come, he said. This is her son speaking. She didn't know what it was, but she was prepared. She had a very clear indication that there would be something on Friday. Whether it was to go home to be with her Savior or to be rescued. And it was to be rescued, he said. God will bring glory out of our situation. Whatever our situation, let's be faithful and obedient to God's word. The doctor, the attending physician, said it was extremely rare for a person to go so long without food. It was understandable to call her recovery a miracle. I wouldn't call it that, he says, but it's understandable how some people might. It is very unusual that a person would survive this type of ordeal, let alone be doing so well. The doctor later said she didn't give up. It's a testimony. Our present situation, the reason for trusting in God's power, our present situation. And if we're in the business of trusting God's power, when we load up our suitcase to travel to Vegas for a trade show, then when our husband is gone and we're left all alone, we're still trusting in God's power. Because we're postured to do that. Don't get distracted. Third reason for trusting in God's power is His eternal desire. The Father's will is that we trust Him only. God demands to be called Almighty. Isaiah 18, verse 12b to 13. Are you, and you are not to fear what they fear, or to be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy. And you shall be, and He shall be your Father, your fear, pardon me, and He shall be your dread. Then He shall become a sanctuary. So when we fear the Lord, He becomes our sanctuary. We cover in it, and He protects us and keeps us. God longs for His children to believe His word and not to dispute His power. Exodus 6, verse 3. And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. God says, I will appear to you as God Almighty. Trust me. Whatever your situation, whatever your circumstance, I want to be revealed as God Almighty. I will arrange circumstances in your life so that you, at the end of your rope, will say, what can I do? And God will come in as God Almighty. We are kept by the power of God. 1 Peter 1 verse 5. We are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. How do I know that I will be in heaven forever? Because Jesus Christ is the one who keeps me. My trust is in Jesus. He keeps me. There's a fivefold bond securing God's power. What's a bond? It's like a bailman's whatever. If you go to prison and the bond servant wants to come and bail you out, whatever that word is there, they want to know that they can trust you to show up at the court case when they put the money forth. So God has a fivefold bond that He has given that secures His power on our behalf. First of all, His near relationship to the saints. The relationship God has with His saints assures His power on our behalf. He calls Himself our Father. He calls us His children. God responds as with a mother's heart. You know what's interesting? Here before all this crying of babies and all this stuff, you know? Now, Jackie, you're sitting here quite contented and relaxed, right? And I noticed a few other others. I noticed Ruth was quite contented and all kinds of sounds going all over the place. I have observed that you young moms can sit perfectly contented and relaxed. And then all of a sudden, you'll jump up and run to the back. I mean, I just heard a bunch of babies crying. But why now, all of a sudden, does that particular mom jump up and run to the back? Why, Jackie? It was your baby. It was your baby. That's a picture of God's love for the saints when we cry. Help. Jesus hears us instantly. He says, that's my child. That's my baby. Don't try and stand in His way. Don't try and block Him now when He comes. Darian, what's going to happen if somebody tries to block you from rescuing your little girls? Look out, man. Am I right? Look out. God's love for His saints activates His power. Whew, I love that. If we have God's heart, we will not lack His arm. His love activates His power. God loves all His creatures, but He loves His saints most of all. John 17:26. God spent his son's blood to purchase us. Will he not expend all his energy to keep us? Don't doubt God's power. God delights as we increasingly display his attributes. It is the image of God reflected in us that so enrages hell. Every time we trust God, we cry out in desperation. Satan and the demons all just, it bugs them so much because they know that our daddy's going to save us. He does not want us to cry out. He wants us to say, I can do it. We must humble ourselves. When God defends you, he is also defending himself. The third reason of God's secured bond is his everlasting covenant. God's covenant engages his almighty power. It's unconditional. He did it with Abraham. He did it with Noah. Every time there's the rainbow in the sky, it's a reminder of God's power engaged on our behalf. Not to mention the Holy Spirit inside each of us, which is a bond securing God's power. Every one of us. Oof. He invites us to claim as ours what is his, power and authority to overcome. He invites us. He says, I want to display my power through you. Overcome the situation. We are invited to castle in his covenant. All are safe together because all rest in the power of his might. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. They are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. And they are saved. Proverbs 18 verse 10. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sorry. All right, his everlasting covenant. We also have the fourth reason, his self-imposed obligation. He obligates himself. Since God demands our trust, as soon as we trust him, he is obligated to move. Because he has demanded that we trust him. And when we trust him, he will move on our behalf. It often won't look like we want it to. That's another story. Our willing dependence on him awakens his almighty power for our defense, as surely as a newborn's cry awakens its mother. When our kids were young, I could sleep through the night just fine. My wife, not so much. I mean, the kids would roll over in the crib and she'd be up. What is that? It's a picture of how God moves on our behalf. He has sworn the greatest oath possible. All who flee to him for refuge will find hope. We'll find encouragement. Hebrews 6 verse 17. You can look it up. Let us embolden our faith and expectation as we turn to God for protection. Number 5 is interceding son. Romans 8:27. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of Christ is because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. All things, every situation we're in today. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. If we are in a situation that is so desperate we don't know where to go, go to Jesus. Pray. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. You say, well, I haven't received that gift yet. Enact it. Just do it. You have to tell your children, I want you to talk. You encourage them to talk, and it sounds like tongues to me when they're infants. Don't worry about it, baby Christians. Just talk to the Lord. You don't know how to pray. How do I pray for people? How do we pray for each other? Your face comes up on my screen. I pray for you. I pray in tongues because I don't know what to pray most of the time. The amazing thing, the Holy Spirit interprets it and applies it. And moves in people's lives. So every time a face comes on our screen, it's a reminder. Pray for them. How do I pray for them? I don't know how to pray for them. Pray in tongues. Whatever comes to mind. If you want to discuss that with me sometime, you can. His interceding son. Christ is the ambassador who ensures fair relationships with God and us, that the relationship between God and us will go according to His promise. Christ has come through the fight and the fire, but His fight is still in us and through us. Three occasions for using God's power. Okay, once we realize that God's power is omnipotent and moving on our behalf, we can quit worrying. The Egyptians boasted, we got the children of Israel cornered, now we're going to get them. They boasted. Children of Israel, in desperation, cried out. They were caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. Pharaoh and the sea. And they cried out, and the Lord parted the deep blue sea. He's still parting the deep blue sea today. So first of all, when we're weighed down by sin, He says, I will abundantly pardon. Now we have words in the Scripture that talk about He covers our sin, He removes our sin, He washes us. Isaiah 55 verse 7 says this, I will drown your sins in my mercy and spend all I have rather than let it be said that my good is overcome by evil. What are beautiful words. I will drown your sins in my mercy and spend all I have rather than let it be said that my good is overcome by evil. Isaiah 55 verse 7. When Satan terrifies you with his awful accusations against your soul, we can say with confidence, it is God and no other who justifies me. He has promised to restore my life if I submit to Him. He has never broken a promise, and I have committed myself to Him. So in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, get thee behind me. When weighed down by sin, He drowns our sins. The second occasion for using God's power is when we're overpowered by temptation, or when our situation or circumstance seems overwhelming. Sin shall not be master over you. You are not under law, but under grace. Romans 6, verse 14. Sin shall not be master over you. You are not under law, but under grace. We no longer need to sin. Guard against carelessness. We no longer need to sin, but guard against carelessness. So I'm free. I don't have to sin. Guard against carelessness. God's grace is sufficient for each day. Each day. Third reason, when oppressed by Christian duty, begin the work God has given you and you will engage His strength for you. Begin the work God has given you, and God will engage His strength for you. Run from your work, and you will engage God's strength against you. Just ask Jonah what that's like. Oh, yeah. Does it feel like your burden is too heavy to bear? 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to endure, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you may endure it. As we struggle before the Lord, as people sometimes say, I just don't know where to leave myself, I'm struggling before the Lord. I say, hallelujah. Well, what do you mean, hallelujah? Says, you're still winning. Well, how do you know? Because you're not dead yet. And if you're living, you're going to have struggles. So quit trying to figure out a way of getting away from struggles. Or quit thinking that if you have struggles, that you're doing something wrong. You're going to have struggles. Just go to the Lord. And He will be glorified in you and through you. Our Father is eager to care for us, that while we are timidly asking for a nibble of peace and joy, He is longing for us to open wide our mouths, and He wants to fill us with His hope. I think we sometimes come, I sometimes go to the Lord with this little glass saying, can you give me just a little bit of hope? And He says, a little bit of hope? I want to fill you with so much hope. It's gushing, overflowing hope. I'm going to drown you in my hope. I'm going to drown your sins in my mercy. Trust in me. The more often we ask, the better. And the more we ask for, the more He welcomes us. Let's bring our empty vessels and He will fill them. Never let the weakness of your faith keep you from the presence of God. Finally, four reasons why God's power sometimes is hidden. We might say, but you say, I've prayed this, I've done all this stuff. Why am I still so weak? So we have four reasons why God's power is sometimes hidden. One, we may have overlooked God's power. We may have expected sudden relief, but God gave us the strength to pray with greater fervor. That Mrs. Kretchen on the side of the mountain, I'm sure, kept praying for release. For 49 days, God kept giving her power and perseverance. You have not yet persevered to the point of death, Scripture says. God gives us the power and the strength to continue praying. I know of a child that was sick, was crying and crying and crying, and the parents couldn't sleep because the child was crying. Then came the day the child stopped crying. This is of an era when the doctor's visits weren't free and the family didn't have much money. When the child stopped crying, the mother says, "We are going to the doctor now." And the family said, "Why? He's finally quiet." She said, "That's the problem. He's given up." And they went to the doctor now, and had they not, he would have died, and I wouldn't be here today. When we cry to the Lord, the louder the cry, the healthier the baby. The louder the cry, the healthier the baby. Satan wants us to think that when we cry to the Lord, that there's something wrong with us. That's exactly opposite. It's when we cry to the Lord, there's something right with us. The louder the cry, the healthier the baby. Don't we find that we're gaining in strength when we continue to pray? You ever notice that? You keep praying. You're at the end of your rope. The next day you get up. Nothing has changed in your circumstances, but all of a sudden you've got faith. You've got hope. Nothing has changed, but you've got faith and you've got hope. And God comes and moves in power. Reminds me of parents teaching little children to walk. Come on, take just one step. I'll catch you. I'll take you. Come on, take just one step. Come on, just one step. Come on, just one step. And you keep backing up, and they're walking. Don't be so surprised when the Lord teaches you to walk. I remember teaching our son to ride a bike. He was 3 years old. 2.5, 3 years old. Riding on a bike, no training wheels. He says, "Dad, hang on to the bike, okay? I got you. I'll hang on to the bike." He's on the bike, he's pedaling. "Hang on to that. Don't let go, don't let go. I got you, Mike. I got you, I got you. I'm running. I got you, I got you. I got you. I got you, Mike. I got you." He's way down the road. All of a sudden he looks back and sees where I am, crashes into the ditch. He says, "You said you were hanging on." I says, "Mike, where am I?" "Well, you're over there." I says, "Where are you?" "Oh, I can ride this thing." Well, he had to go step up on someplace to get up onto it because he was too small. But he rode his bike. Don't we find that we're gaining in strength as we humble ourselves in prayer? What is harder than to force our carnal pride to its knees before God? I can tell you, nothing is harder. The hardest thing is for me to go down on my knees and ask the Lord for help. I want to prove things. I want to do things. Four reasons why God's power is sometimes hidden. One, you may have overlooked God's power. Number two, God may have purposely delayed His power. Do not let your impatience accuse God of negligence. This gives our faith an opportunity to grow stronger. We may let our children struggle to walk to strengthen their knees. He also uses trials for demonstrations of His power. One of our commitments as leadership to Andrew as he goes to King's School is this. The days when he feels that it's too hard, and too heavy that he can't carry the burden, he can call us. And we'll come to Winnipeg and we'll pray with him. We'll walk around the school, we'll be in his office, and we'll pray with him. And then we'll come back home. The burden is his to carry, but we can come to the Lord and on his behalf and ask the Lord to help him to carry the burden. Each of us, as people's names come to mind and faces come to mind, God, the Holy Spirit's inviting us to carry the burden. For whoever it is that comes to mind, the Lord is inviting us to carry the burden, to carry the burden. There's a picture of a ship. Imagine each of us as a ship, and we're living in this life, and we're sailing through this world. You may be a poor and trembling soul, weak in faith, and ever in the brink of sinking. Yet to this day your grace lives on, though full of leaks. Is there a greater demonstration of God's strength than to see such a pitiful, storm-tossed ship towed past an armada of sins and devils into God's safe harbor at last? What a tribute to his power for so weak a vessel to foil all the battleships of Satan. I love it. God's grace and power in us and through us. A third reason for God that God's power is sometimes hidden is that the cause of hindrance of the blessing may be in ourselves. Is our heart set in the right direction? James 4 verse 2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." We need to ask ourselves this question. We may be the hindrance. Has my pride stopped the flow of God's power? God will keep supplying power if we use it. He will not supply power if we use it for our own advancement. Are we thankful for the strength that we have? When our grasping fails us, we are forced back to Him. My mom used to always say, when I got frustrated, she'd set me down with a piece of paper and a pencil. She'd say, "Davy," that's what she called me when I was a kid, "I want you to write out the things you're thankful for." Make it at least 10, but don't stop there. Write out the things you're thankful for. Just when we get down, just do that. We get encouraged. Fourth, God may call you to persevere in the face of overwhelming odds. We may need to wait until we die. God may want you to persevere in the face of overwhelming odds. Mrs. Gretchen sat on the side of the mountain, and the Holy Spirit said to her, "On Friday it's going to change. Either you will be home with me, or somebody will rescue you." What's the worst case scenario in our perseverance that can happen? Well, if the worst case scenario is that we get to be home with Jesus, then that's a good scenario. We just can't go wrong by trusting the Lord. We need to wait until we die. What greater evidence of our faith and of God's grace at work in us than to persevere to the end? Isaiah 40:31. "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." The prophet was sent to the widow's house, and after she'd baked her last loaf of bread, more came. Job was not delivered until God's purposes had been fulfilled. As long as we are still in a struggle and in a battle, rest assured, God will meet you. James 5:11. "We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful." God's power. God's power. Appropriate his power. trust in His power, secure His power by faith, use His power, and may the Lord be glorified. Father, You love us so much. And here I am, a weak and feeble person talking about Your power. What a silly picture that is. But Father, each person here has needed to hear something from You. And if they have not yet, Lord, I ask that You would divinely give them something. And I pray for divine encouragement to persevere, to wait on You. And I pray, Jesus, that You will be glorified in and through our lives, individually and corporately, that Your kingdom will be advanced for Your glory and honor. Until You come to take us home, may we be waiting for You and looking for You the day You come, for Your glory and honor. Amen.